From the Carol App for Mums, this is the Mum Debrief podcast with your host, Holly Zocalan, mum of two and the founder of the Carol App, the free mobile app connecting and supporting mums throughout their motherhood journey through community and handpicked expert-led content. The Mum Debrief is a podcast where we talk all things motherhood from the good, the bad, and the tantrums. Join us as we welcome expert guests to talk all things pregnancy to postpartum and beyond, and discuss our own experiences to help make your motherhood journey a little bit easier. We are so happy to have you here. Let's get into it. This episode is brought to you by Beauty Pie, the beauty brand aiming to provide consumers with high-end, hard-working products without the hefty price tag. Beauty Pie is an absolute go-to for affordable luxury skin products that work. Some of my favourite products include the Japan Fusion Cleanser and the Healthy Skin Moisturiser. Both are an absolute staple in my skincare routine and help to keep my skin looking youthful, glowy and hydrated. The Carol App community has an exclusive discount of 3 months free membership, where you get 70% off full price luxury skincare and beauty products. And trust me when I say their products are incredible. Go to www.beautypie.com/bp/promotions/the-carol-app to get your exclusive discount today. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Mum Debrief. This week I am talking to the wonderful Hannah, who is also known as the Bump and Baby Guru. Hannah is the founder of Motherhood Road, and she supports mums to thrive during early motherhood. This is such an incredible conversation. I loved speaking with Hannah. She's full of wisdom, advice, and tips. And in this conversation, we dive into the fourth trimester, ways to support yourself if you are a new mum, and so much more. I love this conversation, and I can't wait for you to listen. Enjoy. Welcome to the Mum Debrief, Hannah. I am so looking forward to chatting with you. Before we get started, could you share with our listeners a little bit about yourself, what the work you do, and what you offer for mums?
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for having me as a guest. So I'll start. I'm Hannah. I'm known by many as the Bump and Baby Guru, and I started my own business, Motherhood Road, because I know that motherhood is a continual journey that you're navigating. All the ups and downs, the highs and lows, and that every stage is a phase, and there's not one particular piece of advice that will cover the entire of motherhood. So that's where I got the Motherhood Road, because it's like a road. And then my friends, family, clients, everyone was just calling me the Baby Guru, and I cover everything from pregnancy, birth, and then that first year of motherhood. So that's where I came to Motherhood Road and the Bump and Baby Guru.
So did you start as a midwife, or did you do training in baby care?
Yeah, so I actually used to work as a maternity nurse, which is nothing to do with midwifery, and they're reframing it now as more of a newborn care consultant. So I would move into families' homes during that fourth trimester, from sort of day one to week 12, and I would help them look after their newborn and navigate that postpartum period. So I've supported mothers and looked after babies right from the word go, for the last sort of 12 years, living and breathing that newborn phase over and over again, and just seeing that every baby is so different, and so is every family, and so is every motherhood journey. And yeah, so I also worked with as a nanny whilst I was at university, and then decided that actually I was supposed to go and study law, and that really wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to work with children and babies. And so my first job at 21 was working in Monaco, looking after a newborn baby and two young children. And I would have the baby in with me at night. And yeah, I suppose that's where I got started. And it's just gradually evolved from there, because I love supporting everyone and all mothers, as well as like embracing those newborn cuddles.
Yeah, I mean, God, it's so needed. Like the fourth trimester is so complex and overwhelming. And I think, yeah, the service that you offer for new parents is so invaluable and so important. And your philosophy is all about supporting mums to thrive. So and it's so needed, as I said. And I'd love for you to tell our listeners why you got into newborn care. So you said that you were kind of in newborn consultancy. How come you got into that? And can you explain a little bit more about what a bump and baby guru is?
Okay, so I think I've stepped away from being a maternity nurse and would reframe it now as more of like a motherhood mentor and a newborn care consultant, as well as preparing them throughout pregnancy for the birth and that first chapter, because I was really noticing with the clients that I was working with as a maternity nurse that they weren't necessarily leaning into what was natural and biologically normal or intuitive to them and their baby's needs. And they were trying to get them to conform to really structured routines and getting them on schedules, really focusing on like timing everything. And that just meant that they were making everything much harder for themselves and also their young babies. So I really wanted to just step away from that and move into support that meant that I could go in and help them navigate motherhood at the very early stages so that it felt intuitive to them and was a way that they could thrive during early motherhood rather than just feel like they were surviving it. And I go in and I either support them in person or online. Sometimes we hop on a call and talk about what they're struggling with. And I'll just sort of mention perhaps it's something to do with the birth or why their baby's unsettled. And that maybe sometimes it's just saying that actually this is just normal newborn behavior and that it's just a phase, it will change, and giving them some sort of like tips to navigate that period so that they don't feel like they're drowning in nappies, breastfeeding, not sleeping, and that sort of thing. But no, I really wanted to move away from sort of forced routines and work with the mother and the baby so that it was an approach that was responsive and reassuring and most of all realistic for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're so right. Newborns can be so predictable. I mean, they've just come out of being inside you and there's a whole world out there. So yeah, I mean, their life has completely changed from being inside the womb to out in the real world. And I think having that knowledge that actually it could just be newborn behavior doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong. And especially that, you know, there isn't something wrong with the way you're parenting. They're just so different. You know, one baby's so different to the next. And I think that moves nicely into, you know, understanding the importance of preparing for motherhood. Can you explain a little bit about why preparation for going into motherhood is so important, not only for the mother, but for the entire family and how it benefits the whole family as a unit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it can feel quite overwhelming when you're first pregnant and you're Googling like how you can actually prepare in terms of like other than buying the right pram and the right car seat and which bottles to choose or that sort of thing. You can look at the sort of the whole approach. What can you do to mean that you have more time to focus on yourself and your baby and outsource support such as like childcare for another child, a dog walker for your dog, just having a good chat with your partner about what it might look like, because you're likely to be sort of in the bed for the first week, on the sofa for the second week, and inside for the third week. That's kind of the approach I go for, but how they might be needing to support you, and it will be so different than your current sort of relationship. It'll go to sort of, they'll end up having to cook more for you and help you more than they have done. And this can be quite a shock for partners. And just that idea that quite often I speak to families in pregnancy and they'll say, the dad will chip in and say, oh, well, we want to bottle feed so that I can do the night feeds a bit. But the reality of that is that during the first 4 weeks, actually, you need to responsively feed and feed on demand, and only really the mother can do that if you're breastfeeding. So it's kind of about explaining what's biologically normal and what they can do in order to have the best sort of start to that chapter of the newborn, so that it's not such a shock, if that makes sense.
I
feel like nothing really prepares you for motherhood. You can read all the books, you can read all the blogs, you can get advice from your friends and family and your auntie and your granny, and want you until you're doing it yourself and you have your own baby, you won't really know, because every baby is so different. I mean, I looked after newborn triplets and not one of those babies was the same, and none of them sort of fitted into a certain book or a bit of advice that was given, and they'd all do a different thing at a different time, but the approach was identical for all of them. So that just sort of highlighted to me that actually, even if you have the same approach, each baby is going to respond differently, so you can't truly prepare for it.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And that's so interesting about the triplets, because, you know, same parents, same pregnancy, but yeah, so different.
Yeah, I mean, so different. That was such a different experience for me, and it was amazing to go in and help. And I worked as a night nanny for them from about week. Well, I went when they first brought the babies home at 6 weeks, and then I was there until they were 5 or 6 months old. And just going in for 3 nights a week meant that those parents could get sleep and a break, so that they could sort of give their all in the day, because it is really hard with one baby, but three babies is just almost impossible. I would not want triplets myself, but
I cannot imagine. Yeah, wow.
No, I mean, you just get one's fed, then the other one, well, you need to feed all of them at the same time, and then one's crying, and then you just don't have enough arms, and you can't actually, I mean, that's just another
yeah, absolutely. So could you provide some practical tips for mums during both pregnancy and the fourth trimester to help them feel like they're thriving as opposed to just surviving the early weeks of motherhood?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of practical tips, I would say in pregnancy, that would be eating well, staying active, just because being active and upright will help you more in the birth. And also just preparing for the birth rather than going with the flow. If you know what's going to happen, then you have a better chance of the birth that you want. You can prepare in terms of birth preparation, like NCT. You've got hypnobirthing courses. You can have your birth preparation plan and your birth plan, but just remembering that you're not alone in your experience, like in the fourth trimester, that every mother will be going through this, and that Instagram and social media portray it in a different way than reality. So you might see these babies sleeping peacefully in their Moses basket, whereas the reality of this is that they need to be held. And so understanding what's biologically normal. So in terms of like tips and tricks, it would be sort of leaning into baby wearing. I'm a big fan of baby wearing and having your baby in a sling, and perhaps understanding that actually the first few weeks with your baby at home might not be them sleeping independently in that lovely bassinet that you've bought, but that they might want to have more contact naps and sometimes some safe co-sleeping. But just being mindful of how you can do that safely rather than putting too much pressure on yourself. I also recommend to parents that they have like a list of resources that maybe just stuck up to the fridge. That could be like a local breastfeeding cafe or a clinic, or if one mum has mentioned to you in the past, like, oh, this was really useful to me, here are the details, rather than trying to go through all your WhatsApp messages and look for that. If you've just printed it out and it's up on the fridge, you could just tell your partner to go and grab the number and send them a message. And that could be a lactation consultant, a postpartum doula, maybe if you have a dog, a dog walker. It might be things that you've thought about in the past when you were pregnant, but that you haven't actually implemented. And then once you've got your baby, it's all quite overwhelming, and having that list to hand is really useful. But yeah, just outsourcing support, and then just not putting too much pressure on yourself to have visitors, get out and about, just go at your own pace, go with the flow, and it just, yeah, basically take every step as it comes and take baby steps yourself.
Yeah, of course, especially, you know, it's a new, if you're a first time mum, it's a completely new journey for you. And you're so right, you're not alone. Everything you're going through, somebody else will be, but it can feel so isolating, can't it? Especially in the first few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So would you say that there are any specific kind of practices for mums dealing with any postpartum challenges and sleep deprivation? And in terms of, you know, taking some time for yourself as a new mum, how would you suggest that new mums kind of address the guilt that you may feel around taking a bit of time for yourself, especially in those early weeks and months of becoming a new mum?
Yeah, so I mean, one of my clients recently made a really good comment, and she said that on an aeroplane, in the case of an emergency, you are told to, if you have an infant, to put your own oxygen mask on first, because you can't help your child if you haven't helped yourself. And I think that was a really good way of framing it, because it can, you do have to give your all to your baby and provide for them, but at the same time, it's important to just carve out little bits of time for yourself, obviously with your baby, but looking after yourself, nourishing yourself. It's hard to say sleep when baby sleeps, because you can't exactly take a nap on the pavement when you're out for a walk, but just giving yourself permission to rest when you need to, and cancel that visitor if you're just feeling like, actually, I've had a terrible night, I just need to sit with my baby, feed, and then sleep on the sofa whilst they sleep safely next to me. And I think it's just all about being kind to yourself and giving yourself permission to go with the flow and relax into it, and reframe this notion of self-care, that it's not taking a long bath, reading a book, putting a face mask on, that it's actually things like just being able to have, brush your teeth and have a shower and have a hot cup of tea. I mean, even when I'm looking after babies myself, I regularly don't make it to that hot cup of tea. So I have bought myself a thermos flask, so that at least when I've made a coffee, it's still hot 30 minutes later and I'm not there like, oh, just sat down. And for me, it's like just things like little things, like I've got a set, because I do work 24 hours a day with newborns, so I do sort of live and breathe that as well. And just little things like making sure I have a wash bag downstairs with my moisturizer and my toothbrush, so I'm not, I've got baby in the sling and I'm ready to go for a walk and I think, oh god, I haven't even brushed my hair or brushed my teeth, but I'm able to just quickly nip into the bathroom, do that, and head out the door and get a coffee. And it just makes everything feel a lot easier if you're able to just meet those little needs, which, I mean, before having a baby, self-care is not brushing your teeth and washing and putting moisturizer on, but I think for most parents or most mothers, they would say that actually that is the reality of having a baby. Self-care suddenly becomes like being able to actually go to the loo in privacy and, yeah, just have a hot cup of tea and put your moisturizer on and brush your teeth.
Yeah, agreed. And I think alongside that, what you're saying about visitors is setting boundaries. So, you know, if you arrange for someone to come over and you actually don't feel like it, just set that boundary and just say, look, yeah, I'm having a hard day. And just really listen to the way you're feeling.
You know? I think, yeah. I mean, I think that's hugely important. I had one client that I worked with, and I was booked for, well, I was working with them throughout pregnancy, and then I was going in for the first week just to help them navigate that time, set up breastfeeding and everything that's needed. And she had one really well-meaning friend that literally met them at the house when they came home with the baby and was so keen to meet the baby. And I just made me realize that actually, as a new parent, you've just met your baby yourself. Like you haven't even had a chance to get to know your baby. So a friend does not need to get to know your baby. Your baby's still going to be there in 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time. And actually, it's okay to say no and say, look, I know you might not understand this now, but you can't visit right now. Please, can you come back in a few weeks? Or just making sure that family, that obviously your in-laws and your parents, they're going to want to meet your baby, and you might not want them to wait for 2 or 3 weeks, but just ask that they pop in for a little bit and feel capable and able to say, look, could you go home now, or could you bring me a meal, can you bring some loo roll and some toothpaste and any, like, stock up the fridge. And actually most family members are willing to do that if you ask, but I think we're that sort of culture and society that we don't want to ask. And especially I know myself, like, I hate asking for things and I hate asking for help. And I think you just have to lean into that in motherhood and know that you're going to have to ask for more help than perhaps you've asked for in the past.
Absolutely. And how would you suggest that mums can prepare for birth and beyond? Like, what do you feel kind of needs addressing or is missing in today's society for when, you know, women become new mums?
Okay, so I mean, there's so much focus on, like, the birth that often parents, like, mothers don't know what to expect for that first sort of 8 weeks and don't prepare for it at all. So you focus so much on the birth, then you have your baby and you go home and you're like, okay, now what do I do? You've had this moment, like, you've had your baby, but you haven't necessarily researched, like, normal newborn behavior, like why they wake so frequently. You're always told that newborns sleep so much, and they do, but they wake up a lot too, and you might have changed their nappy, burped them, fed them and put them down thinking, oh, they're going to sleep now and they'll wake in 2 hours. But the reality is they don't always do that, and it's just perhaps preparing and understanding how you can responsibly sort of look after your newborn. And that might be, I mean, I'm a big fan of having a sling. I know you mentioned once before that you didn't like the wrap slings because they're so tricky to tie, but there are so many out there that really help. And it doesn't need to be for going out for a walk. It can be in the home as well. Like, it's okay to actually wear your baby a lot and cuddle them all the time. You're not spoiling them. And there's no need to get them into a routine early on so that it's easier. You're not building a rod for your own back. Actually, the best thing for your baby is to be responsive and nurturing. And then actually you're more likely to have a baby that sleeps better because you've met all those needs. And yeah, I think in terms of support postnatally, there's not enough support with feeding and understanding that babies will be unsettled and cry. Like, you're sort of led to think that your baby shouldn't be crying, whereas actually that's the only form of communication, and there's varying reasons for them to be crying. They could be hot, cold, hungry, in pain. Their digestion is, I think there's not enough conversation around their digestion and their little stomachs, and how actually sometimes just overfeeding them and not winding them well enough, and the fact that they're just adapting to having milk, means that they are unsettled. And you might think that you need to rush to your GP, but there are other support networks out there that can actually be much more beneficial than your GP, because ultimately GPs are healthcare providers who are trained to give medical advice and medication, whereas sometimes you need to look at it more holistically and look at the baby and the tension that they might have from birth, or potential tongue ties, or just the way you're feeding. Like, breastfeeding's, you're told that breastfeeding is natural and it will come naturally to you, but it can be so much harder than people think. And even just, you might be finding your breastfeeding journey good, but actually sometimes your unsettled baby is just because of the positioning at the breast, and having that support to show you how to do it can be much more beneficial than purchasing, like, the latest bouncer or the snoo cot or lots of products on the market that you're told you need. Like, I would say to a family, don't invest in the UV sterilizer and the Tommy Tippy prep machine and the latest cot or the latest gadget. Like, save that money and spend it on somebody that comes to your home and sits with you for an hour to talk about feeding, whether that's bottle feeding or breastfeeding, or a postpartum doula who will come and they don't take care of the baby, they take care of you. And I think that's so much more beneficial than having the latest gadget. But maybe I'm not the only one.
No, I agree with that. And yeah, I didn't find a sling that works, but I used to wear both my children around the house in their carriers all the time. And it was so nice. Like, they felt more, I don't know, they seemed a lot more content, and having that connection was really nice, especially, you know, in the early months. And yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. And that, you know, the work that you offer parents is, you know, so important and so needed. Can you share some success stories or examples of mums who you've been supporting, and, you know, how your service has been so beneficial to them and their baby?
Yeah, of course. So I have parents, I have mothers contact me both when they're pregnant, asking for this, how they can prepare. So I sort of talk to them about normal newborn behavior, what they signs they can look out for. And then as my packages are, that they also then get WhatsApp support. So they're able to have me on sort of on speed dial in the weeks afterwards, where they can contact me with any questions. Like, they can send me, I've had photos sent to me, videos of feeding, and then I will send through advice about what they can talk to their health visitor about, how they can get the support they need through infant feeding. I've then also got parents that contact me with babies who are not sleeping, really unsettled. The doctors told them they've got reflux and they're sort of at their wits' end, and I will send them through questionnaires and delve deep into what really is happening and try and get the answers for them, rather than addressing, like, medicating and trying to put a sticky plaster on the problem. We'll look at it as a whole. So, for example, I went in to help one baby who the mum just said, he's not sleeping, he's 4 months old, I need your help, can you support me virtually? And I just said, no, I need to come and see you. I need to come and spend 24 hours with you. And actually I went in and you could just tell this baby was unsettled. He was tense. He wasn't feeding properly. And he was waking every 40 minutes because there was something else going on. So I sat with mum and just basically gave her the confidence to listen to her instincts, which were that something wasn't right, and then go and see the specialist that would actually help her. And a few weeks on, she was still able to breastfeed. Her baby was sleeping much better. He did in fact have lots of tension from being a big baby and a C-section. He had a tongue tie, and we resolved all of that together, and she was able to feel more calm and able to respond to her baby, rather than being told that actually she just needed to leave him to cry and that she needs to stop breastfeeding and bottle feed. That's what she was told before. But I suppose my support is multifaceted. I have lots of strings to my bows, and I just want to take away from it that I look at each baby and each mother individually and provide a support that is tailored to them, rather than saying, here's how you should do it and this will work. Because actually it's different for every baby, and there can be lots of different things going on that need addressing. And yeah, working with them so it's like a responsive and realistic and nurturing way to bring up your baby.
Mm-hmm. You know, especially nowadays, with societal expectations of kind of the bounce back culture, having everybody come visit, having your baby sleep independently straight away, how would you support a mum who wanted to challenge these norms, and how would you support her in making, you know, confident decisions that better suit her and her child?
Yeah, okay. So I guess in society today, as with our culture, we're sort of led to believe that we're going to come home and our babies are going to sleep independently in these lovely Moses baskets that we've bought, and that they'll sleep, and then you can shower and get on with your day-to-day life around that. Whereas actually what's biologically normal is how other cultures do it, such as in Japan, like for 40 days afterwards, the mother will be looked after by her mother and brought food and be nurtured, and she will just be looking after her baby. And I think we just need to take a step back and look at what's actually needed for the baby and for yourself. Like, you've just gone through a huge process. You've grown a baby for 9 months. You've birthed that baby, whether that's vaginally or a C-section. Like, you've gone through a big change. And then in the postpartum period, like, you're having huge fluctuations with your hormones. It's like known that the change in hormones after birth are as big as the hormonal changes you have through puberty, which I mean, I can barely remember it, but it was a big shock. And I just think that as a culture and society today, like, it's okay to just say that you don't want visitors. You might not be able to go and join in, leave the baby at home with your partner whilst you go for dinner with friends. It's going to look quite different than perhaps you imagined. And it's okay to take each day as it comes and lean into what feels right for you and to trust your instinct. I always say, like, trust your mama instinct. You have that. You might not know you're going to have it, but you do have it. And it's usually right. And to trust in that. And just in terms of, if your baby's not sleeping in the bassinet, then try and think of another way of approaching it. Like, can you go and get 2 hours sleep whilst your partner holds the baby next to you if you don't want them away from you? Or can he be downstairs whilst you have a nap? I know that's easier said than done, because some mums, like, they don't want somebody to take their baby for a walk, because then you just end up anxious in bed trying to nap. You're trying, like, people say, like, I know my mum helped with my niece, and she'd say, oh, I want to take her for a walk, or I'll do this. But actually, sometimes what you need to do as somebody that's helping is just tidy up, do the laundry, wash the bottles, and then hold the baby whilst mum showers, and actually make meals for mum and bring her water and just chat to her while she feeds. It's not about, like, you taking the baby off the mother. It's about supporting them that they can do what they need to do. And I think that's not what we do in this culture.
You're so right. I love that so much. So as we wrap up, can you share some final words of encouragement and inspiration for mums who may be listening and really going through the thick of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just about giving yourself permission to relax, lean into the phase, and trust that if something really doesn't feel right, to go and seek that support, and it will be worth it. That it's okay to say no to people, and just, it's fine if you don't get dressed that day into your outdoor clothes, that if you want to just have a shower and put some clean pajamas on. My tips of advice would be, really invest in your birth preparation. Because I mean, you wouldn't go into your wedding day not having spent any time or money on that big day, and your birth is also a big day. So spend the time, spend the money. Like, even if money is something that you can't spend on birth, there are so many resources out there that are free. I've listened to endless birth podcasts, audiobooks. There's lots of books out there that can really help you. So invest in that, and then just have an idea in your mind of what support you might want in the first sort of 6 weeks, and what's biologically normal for your newborn and yourself, and understanding what might happen to you and your body. And that sort of leads me on to, I'm currently creating and going to be launching in the next few months a course for the postpartum period, just so that mums can go into it understanding what's biologically normal for their newborn, and also for themselves. Like, covers everything from postnatal bleeding and sweat, the night sweats, and what's normal for you breastfeeding wise, and the support maybe you can get if, for example, you're feeling engorged and you've got nipple pain, that actually it's not a case of just popping on that nipple cream that you've been told is amazing, and actually it might be that you need to go and seek this support. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to bring all of the knowledge I have and all of the experts out there, because there are so many, and just put it in one place so that parents can dip in and out of it when they need it most. And that's something that I'm trying to create for mothers out there.
Amazing. So where can our audience find you? Share your website, your Instagram, email address, anything that you want to share with our listeners.
Yeah, so I have a website. It's www.motherhoodroad.com. My Instagram handle is motherhoodroad, and my email is hannah@motherhoodroad.com. So hopefully you'll be able to remember that. But my DMs are always open. I'm actually actively like answering parents' messages in Facebook all the time and Instagram, and I love giving advice and just sitting there and talking you through those maybe lonely, stressful periods. And yeah, anyone's welcome to contact me at any time. And if you want to book one of my little support packages, it always comes with WhatsApp support, so you can send me as many questions as you want.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Hannah. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating and a review. It really helps us to reach other mums just like you.